from the moment, the first time we were ever separated after we had met and started dating, he would always send me at least a postcard from someplace, somewhere in the world that he had been traveling. And it got me this one postcard, and he just wrote, "I'll see you in the moon." And it sort of became this little thing, because no matter where he was in the world, we still sit under one moon. And as our kids, you know, with Danny and Mariah, were young, and, you know, I always wanted to keep Richard very much in their lives, because, I mean, a 2 or 3 year old out of sight, out of mind, we'd always say goodnight to Daddy's moon. So that really just became like a symbolic thing in our family whenever he was away. And the fact that this happened under a full moon was pretty, like, wow. Because I would go to bed every night, and the moon is right out our bedroom window. So just before I would pull the shade, I would see that moon. And I do believe to a certain extent that there is a connection, that there is a power out there. And because at one point, for me in this whole event, I had a desperate moment where I needed to do something for Richard. And I felt like if I could just get all this powerful energy and good wishes and, you know, just all this positive energy to him somehow, it would help. And, of course, that was, you know, Easter Sunday morning. And evidently it did. Because Sunday morning was just laying in bed, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, God, Richard's got to be really exhausted. You know, we're going in our fifth day, and that's when I sort of had this idea of, we have a little saying that has sort of sustained us during moments of, you know, family crisis or fun times and not so fun times, where you would chant, "God is good," and then somebody would reply, "All the time," and then you would say, "All the time," and then the other person would respond, "God, you know, God is good." And it was sort of this little chant we had picked up at a mass many years ago, and we've just sort of hung on to it. If only I had thought about this the day before, I could have had the whole state of Vermont, because I had the Bishop of Vermont calling me, "What can we do?" A couple of the priests in the local churches, "What can we do?" And if I, like I said, if I thought about this the day before, I could have asked them, "Could you please have everyone recite this? You know, would you do this for us?" So we ended up thinking to myself, God, why didn't I do that? And I should have done that. And I'm, of course, laying in bed all early morning, Sunday morning. And I finally decided to get up and ask Allison if she would try and reach at least the two priests. She got up and went on a goose chase and did what she could do. And she drove to Morrisville, which is about 25, 30 minutes from here. And she was able to get through to the priest, and they actually, you know, they did it. You know, they were able to do that. I figured at the end of the homily they could get people to do that, and I guess they did. And of course, Allison had stayed for the Mass. She called Jonathan. Jonathan is also one of the representatives that came to the house. And he, on his iPhone, he says, "Here, you have to listen to this." And that's when he, you know, brought it in. There's a few of us sitting around the kitchen table or in the kitchen and and we're all listening to this. And as I'm listening to this, it starts to snow. Now, snow is a good thing for us up here in Vermont. Maybe not on Easter Sunday, but it really, to me, it was a sign. It was just like it was our little miracle. We just knew for some reason Richard was going to be okay. Now, at that point, I just felt I'm just drained. I'm just like, you guys, I'm going to go up in my room, which was sort of my safe haven. I just want to lay down for a little while. So after I said my goodbyes to everybody, and this is probably close to noontime-ish, and even though I'm not supposed to turn on the TV, because we had made the rules, no TV, because we were not going to listen to the, you know, the constant 24/7 of just, you know, same reports, which was just kind of driving you crazy. I turned on the television hoping just to watch a movie, you know, thinking because I'll fall asleep in front of a TV within moments. So I figured, okay, I'll just flick on a TV movie. And as I did that, there's this little ticker on the bottom, Captain Phillips rescued. And I have an old farmhouse and, you know, steep stairs and everything. I don't think I touched a step. I think I just flew myself down the stairs and just went running into Jonathan, find out if this is true. And he immediately gets on the phone, and he, you know, his contacts, trying to confirm this. And from what I understood later, in the Situation Room, which was sort of my direct contact through the company, and they were kind of like all celebrating. And I think they kind of forgot to call me, is how they sort of like played it out a little bit. And then my first phone call, actually, because, again, my girlfriends are holding onto the phones. Paige had the phone. And she's like, you know, it was Richard, but she's like, who is this? And he goes, you don't recognize my voice. And I hear her scream, you know, Richard's on the phone. And, of course, I just, I don't know where I was, but I must have went running right towards it. And the first thing he said to me is, your husband home? And to me, that just was like, that. Of course, my response was always no. And it was like, good, I'll be right over. It was just a little thing that Richard and I always had. He would call me, you know, at all odd hours of the day or night. And, you know, in that little baritone voice of his, he'd be like, you know. So it just, it made me, it teared, you know, just to hear him say that. I'm tearing up right now. I mean, it was just always something that first, it was just like that moment of just hearing his voice.